Good morning. Well, I don't know if you remember, a while back I did a series on three things that you're doing. Well, I think it was just things that you are doing to destroy the faith of your child. And we looked at complaining, we looked at living a lie, hypocrisy, and what was the other one? Quiz. It's quiz time. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was a good one. And so kind of segueing from that, I want to start a series on parenting. Parenting. What are we supposed to be doing? If we're not supposed to be complaining, then what are we supposed to be doing? And so we're going to do a series on parenting. What is the responsibility of the parent? But today I basically kind of want to set the stage for that. And Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up in a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us your wisdom. Convict us of our sin and help us to follow after you in all that we do. Lord, I just pray that that we would be able to apply some of the scriptures that we learned today into our life, that we would seek to follow you with all of our hearts and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that we've heard over and over again, and something that is very true: children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. They truly are a blessing. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." 3 John verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Children, having children, is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful experience. There was a group of fathers in the waiting room at the hospital. Their wives were giving birth, and they were outside waiting to hear the news. And soon a nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just given birth to twins. The man said, "Wow, what a coincidence. That is amazing." He said, "I actually play for the Minnesota Twins." Well, a few minutes later, another nurse came in and announced to the man that he was the father of triplets. "Are you serious? That is amazing," he exclaimed. "I work for the 3M company." At that point, the third man slipped off of his chair and laid down on the floor. And somebody asked him, "Are you feeling ill?" And he said, "No, but I happen to work for the 7-Up company." Children are a wonderful thing, and they are a great joy. A prudent child is a wonderful blessing. Proverbs 10:1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. When you have a prudent child, one who obeys and follows after the things of the Lord, there is no greater blessing. I know my father, when he talked about what he wanted out of us, he didn't care what we did for a job, and he didn't care how many kids we had or even where we lived. He said, "The only thing I want for my children is that they know the Lord and they walk with him." And truly that is the greatest thing a parent can have, is children who walk with the Lord. But you know, the good children are good, and the bad children, they're altogether different. A disobedient child brings grief to his parents. Proverbs 17:21 says, "He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy." Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Proverbs 28:7 says, "Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father." Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." All children are not a blessing. Some cause great grief and sorrow. In 1978, Thomas Hansen, man lived in Boulder, Colorado, he sued his parents for $350,000. And he said that he was suing them on the grounds of malpractice of parenting. He said mom and dad had botched up his upbringing so badly that he would need years of costly psychiatric treatment. Now that is kind of funny, but the reality is, what a great embarrassment to his parents, to the community, in the community. But you know, even when we have children who are in disobedience, who are living their lives according to their own pleasures, seeking after their own fleshly desires, we still have a loving God, an amazing God who loves children, even when they are disobedient. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name, receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea." You see, God loves children. And when he sees people causing children to stumble, well, that's his reaction. "It would be better for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck and drowned in the depth of the sea." He is not impressed, nor is he pleased. But what is his actions towards those children? What is his feelings towards those children? Those children who are living in sin. We see that in Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." You see, God loves his children so much. Every little child. And when they go astray, he goes after them. And he works in their hearts. And he works in their hearts. And if one day they will bend their will to his, he celebrates. He loves his children. Things are precious, often because of their relationship. The most precious thing a mother has is her dear babe. We all love those who are near to us by the ties of nature. Precious, therefore, in the sight of the Lord are His saints, because they are born in His household by regeneration, made to be His sons and daughters. Think not that God our Father has less affection towards His children than we have towards ours. Oh, no. No mother's heart has ever yearned over her child, and no father's bosom has ever rejoiced over his offspring as the heart of God yearns over his erring children, and as his soul rejoices when they come back to him. Children truly are a blessing from God. But they are also equally a responsibility. God has given us the responsibility of raising children. And what is it that responsibility includes? What are we to give our children? Or what is it that God wants us to do with our children? The first thing is we are to love our children. Titus 2:4 says, in speaking to the older women, it says that they should admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Psalms 103:13, it says, as the father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. That word translated pity in some translations probably says compassion. Okay? But the Hebrew word there, it means to fondle. It means to handle delicately. It's translated love, compassion, mercy. We are to shower love upon our children. And children often always need love. Sometimes they make mistakes. 5-year-old Brian, he was in the Easter program and he had a pivotal verse to say on Easter morning. His verse was Luke 24:6. It says, "He is not here, he is risen." Unfortunately, he could not remember what to say, and the director had to quietly remind him of his line. And he confidently grabbed the microphone and triumphantly shouted, "He is not here. He is in prison." None of us are perfect, and we all need love. And we also need to provide for our children. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God says that our responsibility to provide for our children and for our family is of the utmost importance. We are to love our children, we are to provide for them, and we are to train them. Children need training. A father and a son went fishing one day, and after a couple of hours out in the boat, a boy suddenly became curious about the world around him. And he asked his father, "How does this boat float?" And the father thought for a moment, and he replied, "I don't rightly know, son." The boy returned to his contemplation, and then turned back to his father and said, "How do fish breathe underwater?" Once again, the father replied, "I don't rightly know, son." A little later, the boy asked his father, "Why is the sky blue?" And again, the father replied, "I don't rightly know, son." Worried that he was going to annoy his father, he says, "Dad, do you mind me asking all of these questions?" "Of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Solomon said in Proverbs 3:1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." We are to train our children. There was a young pastor in Ohio. He worked at a feed processing plant during the week to make ends meet. Each night he would go home and his boys would look at him and say, "Boy, Dad, You are dusty. He would grumble to himself and he would smile and say, yeah, I sure am dusty. One Saturday morning as he was washing his car, he looked over and he saw his oldest son, 4 years old. And he was picking up small stones from the driveway and he was rubbing them on his pants and on his clothes. And the father asked, what are you doing? He says, I want to be dusty like you, Dad, came the reply. And the pastor was telling the story. He said, at that time I realized that if a son would look up to his father for being dusty, he would look up to Dad for anything. What a responsibility that we have. What a responsibility. Well, there's something else I want to share with you. You might be saying here, Pastor, my children have come and gone. Or I don't have children. Or I never got married. Or I hope to get married. But I haven't yet. Well, there's something else that this series is going to help you with, I hope. Because there's two types of children. Yeah, we already talked about that, the good ones and the bad ones, right? No. There's natural children, and then there's spiritual children. You see, you can have children and never give birth to anyone. Spiritual children are also a blessing from God. In 3 John, John writes, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, but in health, just as your soul prospers, For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. John here is not talking about his physical children. He's talking about those who he has led to the Lord. Timothy, Paul said the same thing of Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul again talks about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me with me in the gospel. Paul said that Timothy is my true son in the gospel. He said to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. To Philemon, he said, I appear to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and to me. Paul is writing to Philemon, a slave owner. And he is saying to you, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Onesimus was his slave, Philemon's slave, who ran away and met Paul and became a Christian. And now Paul is sending him back to his slave owner. And he says that Onesimus is my son. And he goes on in Philemon to say that you owe me a great debt. But I ask that that debt be canceled on behalf of Onesimus and that you treat him as a brother in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says to the Corinthian church, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. For now he who plants and now he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So you see, that when we go out and we share the message of the gospel and we bring people into the kingdom of God, it's as if we have another child, another wonderful, dear soul that we have to mentor, to nurture, to teach. And God gives that to us as well. Sunday school teacher was teaching a class of children about creation. It says, "Now children," she said, "who can tell us what makes the flowers spring from the seed?" "God does it," answered one little girl, "but fertilizer helps." And in the same way, when we go out and share God's word, God brings up a new creation. But we get to be that fertilizer. We get to help. And then we get to be ongoing in that relationship. Because spiritual children require the same attention as our physical children. They require love. 2 Timothy 1:2, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, "My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." When we bring someone into the faith, we are to shower them with love. There is a story of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior and applied for membership in the local church. "Where were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus into your life?" inquired an old deacon. "Yes, sir," she replied. "Well, are you still a sinner?" "To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever." "Well, then what real change have you experienced?" "I don't quite know how to explain it," she said, "except I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I am a saved, I am a sinner running from sin." And she was received into the fellowship of the church and proved her consistent life that she was truly converted. I'm sure we can all relate to that. We all need to be loved and continue to be loved and shown God's love even after we receive Christ as our Savior. We also need to be trained. 1 Corinthians 4:14 through 17 says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." And to the Galatians, he said, "But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." And he goes on to correct their theology. He teaches them the error of their ways so that they can be, again, trained in the message of the gospel. And we also know that it is the Lord who provides for His children. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." You see, for our physical children, we need to love them, train them, provide for them. But our spiritual children, it's the Lord who provides. And ultimately, He provides for our physical children as well. Grace Davidson took her 4-year-old granddaughter to big church for the first time. She sat quietly, taking in every aspect of the service, and her attentive curiosity stayed in check until the pastoral prayer. The pastor said, "We thank you, Lord, for your presence." And the little girl's eyes flew open, And she whispered to her grandmother, "Granny, we're going to get presents." But truly, that is how God treats us. He loves us so much. And I would challenge you, whether you have zero children or whether you have, I think, six. Is anybody, who's got more than six kids here? Anybody? Okay. We're winning that battle. Okay, good deal. Whether you have zero or six, I would encourage you to have a great quiver full of people that you have led to the Lord. Because there is no greater joy than to see that your children walk in the truth. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. In your wisdom, Lord, you have created this world. And in your wisdom, you have designed it. And you have given us a great responsibility to be parents, to have children. Lord, to love them, to nurture them, to train them up in the ways that they should go. Lord, to be an example to them. But Lord, you have also, in a spiritual sense, commissioned us to go out and share the gospel and have children. Lord, that we would bring alongside of us, and that we would love, and that we would nurture, and that we would teach, and that we would train in your ways. So Lord, I pray that this week we would be about that cause, that we would be about loving others to bring them into your kingdom, whether they be our own physical flesh and blood or whether they be of another, Lord. But we are all your children. We are all loved by you. We are all your creation. And you desire that each one of us would not perish, but that all would come to repentance. So, Lord, I pray that you would use us to do your work in your kingdom. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.